Greetings and welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. The Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We continue to examine the account of Christ's restoration of Peter following the crucifixion of Christ and the resurrection of Christ and the return of Peter and several of the apostles to Galilee, and this wonderful account of how Christ restored Peter to fellowship with himself and restored him to a place of usefulness and service for the Lord Jesus Christ once again. And one of the things that makes this such a wonderful account is that it shows the direction for others of God's people, other disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ who are in need of restoration. And there's no question that I'm talking to some right now. You who know the Lord, you are the children of God. If you died today, praise God, you would be with the Lord in heaven, but you are not as fruitful for Christ as once you were. You have failed, you have fallen, and you need to be restored. So you need to give careful attention to this restoration process that our Lord used in the life of the Apostle Peter. Now, before we go any further, let me pause and welcome you to this Thursday, August 5, Beacon broadcast, and encourage you to write for our Sermon of the Month, number 8, a Beacon Pulpit Bible study entitled Christian Love in Shoe Leather. Whew, I'm stumbling over my words. Christian Love in Shoe Leather. The text is Romans chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. It's yours upon request if you'll write and give us the call letters of this station. And, of course, your name and return address. And we'll send it to you on cassette tape unless you request CD. The mailing address, once again, is the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. Or you can email us at beacon@netpath.net. John 21:15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my lambs. The first interrogation of Peter that I just read in verse 15 of chapter 21 contains, first of all, Christ's question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And that question ends with a challenging comparison, do you love me more than these? We've already addressed that. We see, secondly, Peter's reply to the question. It is a positive response, yes, Lord. It is a humble response, thou knowest. Yes, Lord, you know, as if to say, I'm not going to claim anything unless you affirm it, because I've learned from past experience that you know my heart better than I do. You know my desires better than I do. You know what I'm going to do better than I do. You know what is within me better than I know myself. And dear friend, you who are in need of restoration, will you learn that lesson along with Peter? God knows you better than you know yourself. Don't be so busy telling God what you are going to do as you are asking God to help you be what He wants you to be. And so, a positive response, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, but an altered response, as we saw on the broadcast yesterday, because Peter changed the word love. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Peter used the word phileo. Jesus used the word agapao. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Do you love me? with a divine love? Do you love me with an unselfish love? Do you love me with a sacrificial love? Do you love me with the kind of love that God had when he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son? Do you love me with this kind of agapao love? And Peter replies, yes, Lord, you know that I am fond of you. Phileo, I am fond of you. Now, we talked a little bit on the broadcast yesterday about whether this alteration in the word that Peter used is significant or insignificant. Most Bible commentators place a great deal of significance upon it, but there are always the dissenting voices, and there are a few in the minority who say these are just simply synonyms, they really don't mean anything different, we shouldn't put too much importance, we shouldn't attach too much importance, I guess I should say, to this altered word by Peter. And I have weighed both positions and read both commentaries on both sides of the issue, and I simply have concluded, as I explained to you yesterday, that I think there has to be some significance attached to it because of the flow of the conversation. It just doesn't seem to make sense to me that Peter would alter the word that Jesus used unless there was some special significance attached to it. Just knowing what I know about normal conversation and the way we normally respond to things, I would have expected Peter to have used the same word that Jesus used. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Agapao. And I would have expected Simon to say, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, using the same word. But he doesn't. Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me with an agapao love? Yes, Lord, you know that I am fond of you with a phileo type of love. And phileo, as I say, though it is used sometimes interchangeably with agapao, it is nevertheless a word that carries more the idea of like rather than love, as we would think about it in the English language. I am fond of you rather than I love you with a volitional, intentional, self-sacrificing kind of love. Lord, you know that I'm fond of you. Now, the question is, if we are correct, that Peter did intend a change in meaning here by the changed word that he responded with, then the question is why? What was he trying to communicate by changing the word in this way? And the most obvious answer is he was toning down the force of the word. Christ used a word for love that requires, or at least it describes, I guess is a better way of saying it, it describes a very high level of love and devotion. Peter used a word that describes a lesser level of love and devotion. It still indicates a kind of love, a fondness, liking one another. It is certainly not the erotic love that speaks of sexual passion, which was a very common word in the Greek language, but of course would have been entirely inappropriate in this situation, and is never used in the New Testament. There are several words that are used in the New Testament. The most common one is agapao, and the second most common one is this one here, phileo, and then some of the others are compounds of phileo, as for example, philadelphos, which is brotherly love, or sometimes translated brotherly kindness, but brotherly love, from which we get our word Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And that's really the idea here. This is a brotherly kind of love. Not the kind of intense, intentional, volitional, self-sacrificing kind of love like Christ has toward the church and that husbands are to have toward their wives, and that we are to develop by God's help and grace toward others, the kind of love that has been bestowed upon us as children of God, and the capacity that God gives us to love Him in this way and to love others in this way. But there is a kind of brotherly kindness, a brotherly love and affection, which people of similar interests often have one toward another, that really, I don't think, requires divine grace, though it certainly is augmented by it. But what I'm suggesting is that I don't really think that anyone except a true born-again child of God is capable of loving with an agapao love. That is a divine kind of love, and only those who have been saved by the grace of God have any capacity to love in this way. But unconverted people can love with a brotherly love, the love of comradeship, the love of family, the love of community, the love that men might have because they are in a common profession, or they play on the same ball team, or they serve in the same military unit, or they all belong to the same civic organization, and so forth. You can have a fondness, a brotherly affection for people like this. You can belong to a fraternal organization and have a special love for those who belong to that organization along with you. It is an affection. It is a brotherly love. And sometimes it will even rise to a higher level. Sometimes it will show intense devotion and willingness to help and sacrifice. But there's a limit to it unless it is empowered by the grace of God. And only God, I think, really enables a person to rise to the level of agape love. And so Peter is using a word that describes a little bit less committed kind of love. A word that means fondness, attraction. It certainly communicates a love for Christ, but it doesn't communicate the same level of love that Christ has showed to Peter, and not the same level of love that was involved in Christ's question to Peter. So it is kind of a strange response. Peter's response is yes, but when he affirms his love for Christ, he uses a different word. Simon, son of John, do you love me with an agapao love? Answer, yes, Lord, you know that I do, that I love you with a phileo kind of love. Well, that's not what he asked Peter. Why did you change that, Peter? Well, I suspect that Peter is learning. This, to me, is a good evidence of the grace of God at work in Peter's heart. The old bragging Peter, who claimed more than was true, now seems to be showing a beautiful meekness in which he is understating the case rather than overstating it. I think I can claim a phileo love for you, Lord Jesus. I don't know if I can claim an agapao love. So he is claiming the lesser rather than the greater, understating the case rather than overstating the case. That's good evidence. That's good evidence that Peter is truly repentant and that Peter is growing in grace. And until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.